Good morning. It's 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News. Time for our regular monthly check-in with Finger Lakes Health, and that means that we say a virtual good morning to Laura Turbide. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
And we have a very apropos guest who we'll meet in just a moment. First off, I saw that the urgent care in Seneca Falls has changed hours around and added some evening hours.
Yes. Well, actually, the Seneca Falls, you can go to urgent care during the day, regular hours, and you'll be seen there at Life Care. But during evenings and weekends, we're going to reroute folks to the Geneva Urgent Care, which is Finger Lakes Commons, Finger Lakes Health Commons, right up by the car wash. And we encourage people, of course, to be calling ahead for just their own sort of best care, as well as for us to be prepared for you. So, again, during the day, regular business hours, certainly still come to the Seneca Falls site. But for those evening and weekend hours, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., we're going to keep Geneva available for you.
Any idea yet on Heels Up for Healing, or are you just going to wait before trying to reschedule that?
You know, we did it as a virtual race, and
oh,
it was amazing. So those participants, we had many, we distributed in a distant type of way. We got them their T-shirts, and we said, you can't come together and race, but please go race on your own. Send us your time. Send us your photos of you out on a trail, out in your own location. We have everybody from somebody's dog in a shirt with a sweet little photo to other folks. So we'll be posting those photos, and I'm proud to say, believe it or not, the community is so generous. The sponsors still continue to support, and so we raised, to date, about $56, so a little bit even more than last year by doing it as a virtual race this weekend. So we didn't bring everyone together. We had people run on their own, and we just want to say thanks. But everyone, I think, is realizing how important a good cause is for healthcare, and this raised money for the homestead and all of our residents there who have been, as you can imagine, not able to have visitors and things. The activities and other things we do with them have become even more significant.
Wow, that's terrific. I hadn't heard that. One last question, and you may not be able to answer this because of HIPAA and stuff, but do you have a number of how many COVID patients have been treated in the system or at Geneva General, or can you do that?
What I can say is we know that people are experiencing COVID-19 within our communities across all of our counties. So Ontario, Seneca, Yates counties, we do try to coordinate and have those numbers released with the county public health department. And the reason is because we want people to realize that we don't want people to diminish, oh, there's one case in this one small little town, or there's one case in this community, in this county, but must not be here. We want you to know the most critical message is it is here, it is in our communities, it is across our communities, no one is immune, and therefore these practices that we're all putting into place, the social distancing and other things, are essential. Again, also remember that 80% or so of those people are able to ultimately be tested, self-quarantine, stay home, and when they do, they have a wonderful recovery. And it is a small percent that, of course, need hospitalization or any kind of ventilator treatment. But I think it would be kind of irresponsible for us to begin talking with, you know, the county numbers, and I guess I would rather keep it right at those county numbers, because we need people to realize we need to all presume that we're carrying this virus and that we have the potential to either impact other people and or others could impact us. So I think that's the most critical message right now, is realize it's in all of our communities. We all have the potential to be being carriers and need to be acting as such, and that's how we're going to get through this.
All right, and that leads into our guest, who is an expert in how diseases spread and how to prevent that spread. So introduce our guest.
I am so happy this morning, and we set this up before things had gotten quite as, this has been on the calendar for a little while, actually. Tammy Healy is our Infection Prevention Clinical Outcomes Coordinator through our Performance Improvement Office. She's a BSN, an RN, and has a CIC certification, and we can talk more about her about what that means. But in essence, infection prevention is her business, 24/7. 365, this is what she does. So we have the perfect person here with us to talk about how to prevent infection, how we can be our own advocates, as well as a little bit more perhaps for people who want a little more of the science about how this is all taking place.
All right, Tammy, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it a lot.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's start with this. My understanding is that the term coronavirus refers actually to a group of viruses. So what are coronaviruses, and what is it about this one that has led to this fundamental change in the way that we live?
Well, coronaviruses, true. There is several different strains of it. Most of your common colds are coronaviruses. The difference with this one is a little bit more severe, and there's no vaccination for it, and there's no approved treatment for it at this time. There is a lot that are out there in the work and they're testing. So the difference between the coronavirus and someone getting the flu is you can have a vaccination for it and you can get treatment. So this one is why it's so severe and spreading is because there's just no medical technology out there that can slow it down except for the social distancing at this time.
And
one other difference, is it true that because it's a novel virus for all of us, it's an emerging pathogen, unlike other parts of coronavirus, common cold kinds of things, other ones in the past, we've built up some level of immunity as individuals because we've come into contact with that specific variant before, whereas this is novel for us.
Correct. It's brand new. The body doesn't know how to react to it. No one has immunity to it. They also develop a test they're working on to see if people already have antibodies set up, which antibodies, once you're exposed to a virus and you've had a small case of it, you do develop antibodies, which is part of your natural immunity system, which will help you from not getting it again in the future or getting a more mild case.
Is that lack of antibodies, is that why we see a death rate that I think is somewhere around 2% compared to just 0.1% for the flu?
No, I believe the death rate is because it's such a severe virus that it's attacking people. Once people get it with certain medical comorbidities, like respiratory issues where they don't have the ability to, once it settles into their lungs, they don't have the availability to keep having the same lung capacity as, you know, people who don't have lung issues. And so they go into like a respiratory distress. It puts too much stress onto their lungs, and that's where elderly patients are struggling.
One of the questions everybody has right now is about face masks. Are face masks primarily to prevent getting it yourself or to prevent spreading it to others if you have it? Let's start with that.
There's twofold on that. Face masks in healthcare are to protect the staff from getting it from the patients they care of. But the face masks that they're asking people to wear out in the community, the homemade masks, the fabric masks, they're basically protecting everybody from you. So if you're coughing, sneezing, you're not doing that in the public setting. But I just want to, you know, really instill in people that these masks are not going to protect you from getting it. They're just one more thing to help you, but it's not going to avoid it. So you really need to still do the social distancing. You still need to stay home. The mask isn't like a free ticket to go out and conduct your normal business as before when all this hits. It's really important that they stay home. And people, I'm finding, aren't understanding that it means everybody. I still see families getting together, and it's really hard, but when you have people, or even families, because these families aren't quarantined together 24/7, they're going out and they're seeing, you know, they're coming in contact with other people. And every person you come in contact has been in contact with 20 people, who's been in contact with 100 people. So you just never know.
We have a lot of people rushing now as volunteers to make masks. Is there anything we should know in terms of, for just everyday people, like you said, how they should be made and how they should be worn?
And they just need to make sure that like, it's a good fit on your face, best you can. Make sure you wash them every day if possible. You don't want to keep wearing the same mask over and over again, especially if you have to go out into the public. And there's really no special material because they're not a hospital grade. They're just basically just trying to protect you as much as possible.
Do we know with this?
I think we have to remind people, too, to not be touching the mask because it is a unique a different experience for us. We don't always wear them if we're not medical professionals. So I think there are many people, we have to remind them, use hand sanitizer before you put on the mask. If you go to adjust the mask, make sure you're cleaning your hands. You need to really try to, I think, make sure that just because you have the mask there, it's actually hopefully going to keep you from touching your face because there's a little more of a heightened consciousness. But again, as Tammy said, it's not going to protect you from getting the virus. It may protect you from spreading droplets with your cough and sneeze. use, but also to not be touching our own masks and to be sure that they are clean, because if you're not keeping them clean and if you're continuing to touch them instead of touching just the ear loop part, you actually are probably not using it effectively.
Right. And that leads into my next question, which is, do we know how often it's transferred directly person to person through the air as opposed to touching a surface? It is a surface. In other words, somebody gets the droplets on a surface and then the second person touches it, touches their face, and gets it that way.
We do not know at that time because it's so new and so, you know, spreading so rapidly through different communities. I think once it's done over with, that there will be more literature once they look back on it and study and get, you know, better data out there to help people understand the virus and its transmission more.
Do we know yet with the flu virus, it's a slightly different kind every year, and they adjust the vaccines accordingly. Is there reason to believe there will be another type of coronavirus down the road at a later point?
Yes, I believe, because, it's viruses do mutate, and there is concern that come the fall, it may come around again, but it may be a different strain of it. It may, and then hopefully by that time, we'll have a better handle on it, better medications, and a vaccine.
So we have a few minutes left. In that time, what should we be doing? Run us down the most important steps to take to flatten this curve and get rid of this virus in New York.
Well, stay home if you can. I know it's hard. It's been a long time. We're going on, you know, just about a month now. But if you can stay home, please do. If you do have to go out, make sure you do wear your mask. And then make sure it's hand hygiene. Don't depend on just the hand sanitizers. You really need to do hand hygiene, especially before you enter your home. And make sure you use hand sanitizer frequently when you're out in the community, and don't touch your face, and, you know, try not to touch anything that's been touched by someone else, and just really protect yourself.
And then if we do feel symptoms, whether we know or don't know what it is, if we feel those flu-like symptoms, is the first step to quarantine and then contact your doctor?
Correct. Yeah, they're really trying to keep people out of the doctor's offices and emergency rooms unless it's absolutely necessary. So it's really good to, important to contact your personal care primary care provider, and they will direct you, depending on your symptoms, what is the best venue for you.
All right. I know a lot of people are saying a lot of things right now, so we really appreciate the chance to get it from right from the source. So, Tammy, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you again.
All right, Laura, thank you as always. Can't wait till we can do it in person.
Take care, Ted. Stay well. And thank
All right.
you, Tammy.